Welcome back to The Bottom Line on KCPW. I'm Doug Wells, and today I'm happy to share with you another Startup Spotlight interview. These are shorter interviews that focuses on the earlier stages of a company's development. The Bottom Line typically focuses on later stage companies that have already achieved impressive market positions. Our hope is that these earlier stage stories give you a more complete picture of entrepreneurship here in Utah, a peek, if you will, into what is often a 3, 5, or even 10-year journey prior to becoming what others call, quote, an overnight success. The energy, the passion, and the excitement of these early stage founders are high, but so too are the risks that they face along their journey. Join us to hear more about what drives them forward, as well as what keeps them awake at night. Today, we are joined by Alan Eve. He is the CEO of Rovi Tracker. Alan, welcome to The Bottom Line.
Thanks a lot, Doug. Appreciate it. Great to be here.
So the audience cannot see your logo, but it has this big industrial tire for the O in Rovi.
Right.
What does Rovi do?
So we provide a management solution for companies who use heavy equipment, both rental software and monitoring of their equipment.
And what do companies do now? If they're not using Rovi Tracker, how do they monitor that?
Well, they've got a mixture of some archaic systems. And for the most part, you know, you've got whiteboards, you've got Excel spreadsheets, and you know, they try to manage it with QuickBooks. QuickBooks is not really a management
software. It's not designed for that. So this is a typical industry that, for whatever reason, has been overlooked to date by technology. How did it get on your radar screen?
I actually worked for a company called Mobilite right out here in West Jordan. A fantastic company that manufactured light towers for the oil and gas, mining, and construction industry. I was their GM and then CIO, but when I first started there, they also had a small rental fleet, and just kind of saw how they were running things and all the pains that they were running into without a proper management solution. And you know, once the equipment was out in the field, they had no idea what was going on with it. So that's where the concept kind of came from.
And you mentioned you became the CIO for that company. Do you have a technical background?
I do. A lot of system integration and working with, just all my life, just from college and on.
So you saw that it was an archaic system, that they were tracking this equipment. This is expensive equipment. Downtime costs a lot of money. Not only because that piece of equipment's out of service, but what it means to the people that are using it. Oftentimes, I would imagine this is mission critical work. So the value's high. So I can see how you connected the dots. How did you go from saying there ought to be a better way to actually developing the better way?
I started looking for a product to help improve the way they were managing their equipment initially. And most of the solutions that were out there were just the GPS track and trace, right? But it's nice to know where it's at, but you really want to know how it's running. You really want to know how long the engine's running. You want to know battery voltage, in addition to the GPS location, and then any other data you can grab from it that's completely valuable.
And so how did you go from saying there should be a tool that does all these things to actually building a tool? Did you write the first code, or how did that happen?
We did. So my partner and I, we started out just doing some simple user interface for them. And when that software was done to a point where they can beta test it, then we added on some hardware. We bought a piece of hardware from a third party to give us a little more information, like the engine runtime and the GPS location. We started there, just some really basic data that we were gathering. And Mobilite was great because they were willing to be our first beta tester. And that's really where we got started. And then from Mobilite, you know, since they manufacture the heavy equipment, I had access to, you know, talk with their clients, and they were running into the same pains. And so we picked up a few more of their clients as beta testers.
And how difficult was that sale? Was it an obvious, and, you know, what you created is what I would call a minimum viable product. And
right.
The ideal setup is, even though it's not pretty, even though it doesn't have all the bells and whistles, the pain of the customer is so great that they say, yes, we absolutely need this. We'll take it as it is. Did you experience, most people don't experience that. It takes several iterations to get to that point. What was your experience with that initially reaching outside of Mobile Light to other customers?
It was actually, it was not hard at all. We knew, you know, the pains that they had. I mean, some of these guys, the biggest pain that they had was when they're renting the equipment, it's not down the street. It's not 3 blocks away. It's miles away, half an hour, sometimes 18 hours away. So when you've got equipment out in like North Dakota and you have no idea what's going on with it and where it's at, it was really easy for us to sell on some of the points that we had and we were solving. So, you know, some of Mobile Light's clients, they were all up for it. Yeah. I mean, and when you say it wasn't ugly, yeah, I mean, it was ugly. And they didn't care.
As a minimum viable product should be, right?
Right.
I mean, if it's a, if you're, I think it's Mark Andreessen that says, if you're not embarrassed by your minimum viable product, you've spent too much time on. I think
right.
That's very wise advice.
Right.
Was it hard to ship that product knowing it wasn't pretty, knowing it should be more than what it was?
No, I think, I mean, you know, with the clients having that understanding that, hey, look, you know, this is beta. It wasn't hard at all. You know, once they understood that, you know, here's the type of info that we've been looking for and it's here now, that's all that mattered to them.
And when you start, you know, timing has a lot to do with the success of a company. You know, I think entrepreneurs take too much blame when things don't go well. Conversely, I think they give themselves too much credit sometimes when things go spectacularly well. They deserve a lot of that credit, though. When you started your company, you mentioned oil and gas earlier. When you started your company 3.5 years ago, the price of oil was about $100 a barrel.
Right, right.
As we talk today, it's less than half of that.
Yeah.
How did that impact your trajectory?
It actually didn't really affect it because companies who use heavy equipment, they don't belong to just oil and gas and mining, right? You've got construction, which is doing really well. And then there's other companies that use them that aren't necessarily affected by the oil and gas industry. And that's been really beneficial for us. So we actually didn't see a huge impact. We actually saw a bit of growth because we have been targeting really any industry who's using heavy equipment.
I'm glad to hear that. It's not the answer I was expecting. If you're just joining us, our guest is Alan Eve. He is the CEO of a startup company called Rovi Tracker. So fortunately, you were also in construction. As you point out, construction is just really going strong all across America. So you've got this tool that allows companies to track some of their more expensive, more valuable assets. How do you charge? I imagine it's a SaaS model, but you know, how expensive is this for customers to say, yes, let's use this?
Yeah, we actually, we've been known, well, most of our clients are saying we're charging too little.
That's a good thing.
It is a good thing. And we tell them, look, we understand, but we want to grab some market share. So you better get it now because next year the price is going to double. So that's what we tell them. But yeah, how we charge, we've got two payment plans. If you want to use the rental management system, then you have, you know, three different plans to choose from depending on the size of your company. And then depending what type of equipment you want to monitor, then we have three different payment plans for that as well, you know, from as low as $9.99 for just GPS tracking.
And then, per month, you
know, or? Yeah, that's okay. That's per month. Yeah, per month, per equipment.
And then how rapidly does this go up? You mentioned, you know, you want to know the voltage on the battery. You want to know some other stats about the how the piece of equipment is operating. I would imagine that's really valuable information. Are you able to extract some of that value? It goes from $9.99 to how much?
$29.99 if you're in the U.S. And once that package there is actually still a very, very competitive price, considering that we're pulling data such as like, you know, cab temperature, fuel level, multiple battery banks, lots of inputs and outputs. You know, of course, with equipment, the more advanced they are, the more you should probably know what's going on with them.
So that sounds really compelling. It sounds like what I call an easy yes for your customers to say, of course, yes, I'm going to use this. At what point do you think it does not become an easy yes? Is it $100 a month for the premium suite?
Yeah, I would. I guess it all depends what the client is willing to pay for that data. But excuse me, an average price for, you know, that amount of data, when you consider other technologies, you're probably looking right around $75 to $150 per device, per equipment. And yeah, and again, it just all depends how critical that large capital investment is.
Okay.
To the customer.
And let's talk about your journey. So you started the company 3.5 years ago. What do you know today that you wish you had known at the start of this journey?
Well, I guess that that things will kind of work out as you keep being persistent and working hard at what you're doing. You know, going through it, you realize that there's a lot of hoops you've got to jump through, a lot of obstacles you gotta, jump over. But if you know that there's value in what you're providing, doesn't really matter how hard it is to find that next rock star. Doesn't matter how hard it is to go out and raise some funding. If you know it's good, you know your customers like it, then you just gotta push forward.
Now, you knew your space better than most entrepreneurs know the space that they're going into, which I think is really valuable. And we were talking in the green room before the show. You actually started this part-time. You didn't jump in with both feet. Knowing what you know today, if you had a friend that was about to embark on a similar journey, would you say jump in with both feet, or is there value in starting this part-time?
No, I think there's a lot of value in starting it part-time, especially if you have the ability to integrate with your potential client already, because there's a lot of things that you've got to learn. You know, there's things that you learn when you're working with a client. And so if you're overbuilding all the features because you think, oh, they're so important and they're going to sell, well, you're going about it the wrong way. With us being able to start with Mobilite, you know, we just went and focused on the features that they wanted and needed at that time. And by doing that, we didn't spend a whole lot of time building features that probably weren't going to be used.
Yeah, and I would just reiterate that for our audience. I think there's a tremendous amount of value for an entrepreneur of starting part-time. It mitigates your risk early on, which I would argue allows you to be more courageous in the type of offerings because you don't have everything on the line with this.
Right.
We've just got a minute or two left. So you're 3.5 years into the journey. You just graduated from the Boom Startup Accelerator, which was held here in Salt Lake City, and you guys finished up that cohort in mid-July, late July. So you were running your company for 3 years prior to joining Boom Startup. What were you hoping to learn from the Boom Startup experience?
The Boom Startup was important to me because I really wanted to get to know Rob. I really wanted to build a better network in Utah. I've been here since 2000, but, you know, with most of the startups that I've had, it's always been just myself and a partner and try to do everything ourselves and bootstrapping it. But I wanted to do something a bit different with RoviTracker. I just saw a bigger potential. And, what I learned from there was just more, you know, here's really how you build a network on this side, of the business, especially when you're looking to raise money.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great program that they're running there. I think folks learn a lot from it. We've interviewed all the companies that's gone through the cohort, and it's nice to hear just the across-the-board positive experiences everybody is having. Alan, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Our guest this morning has been Alan Eve. He is the CEO of RoviTracker. We'd also like to thank our friends at Boom Startup, a Utah-based accelerator that over several months nourishes and mentors companies like Allen's. Today's show was recorded at the KCPW studios on Library Square and produced by Ross Chambliss. Thank you, Ross. You can hear our entire interview on our website, kcpw.org. You can tweet me at SavvyWells or at KCPW Bottom Line. I'm Doug Wells. Join us next week on The Bottom Line.